A new guide to help workplaces better support neurodivergent employees has been launched. Diversity Council Australia and Amaze have released Neurodiversity Data at Work, a guide to help organisations safely collect data about neurodiversity in the workplace. The aim is to help employees understand the experiences of neurodivergent staff and improve workplace inclusion. The Wire's Mamina Shuka spoke with Amaze CCO Alexander Lazarus Priestley about the new guide.
The guide primarily exists because there's a significant gap between how organisations understand and report on and then act on neurodivergence within the workplace. So research estimates that somewhere between 15 and 20% of the population are neurodivergent, and that's quite low estimation, but very few organisations are actively collecting data on this, specifically in Australia. So without that data, neuroinclusion tends to just sort of stay at the level of good intention rather than informed action. Part of the reason that gap exists is that organisational narrative has often been about access and adjustments based on diagnostic criteria. So a medical model of disability, which then something needs to be clinically verified before it's taken seriously. And we very much move away from clinical diagnosis or descriptions of diagnosis within the guide itself. It's about understanding that diagnosis is not accessible to many people within the community. Diagnosis pathways are uneven, expensive, and historically biased towards particular demographics.
Why is it important for organizations to collect data on neurodiversity in workplaces?
So if we take neurodiversity being the overarching paradigm, so it's actually to say that there are all different types of brains and nervous systems within the population, and every version of that is right and normal. So that when we're talking about neurodiversity, that's what we're talking about. But for organizations to collect data on neurodiversity in the work, it's really simple. You can't improve what you don't measure. So what we're asking for organizations to do is to actually just understand neurodiversity, neurodivergent, and to find out in the very first instance around proportion, population and proportion of population. So you actually understand the makeup of your work.
The guide encourages organizations to collect data voluntarily. Why is that important?
It's really important for neurodiversity data to be collected both voluntarily and anonymously. And the reason goes far deeper than just respecting personal choice, which is also really, really important. But the backdrop to any data collection question is the history of experience neurodivergent people bring to it. Many have had personal information used against them in the past. It's about trust, it's about action. They may have had negative experiences themselves or have seen colleagues treated differently after becoming visible. And because that context is always present, it has to be voluntary. The minute you were to make that kind of data collection mandatory, it doesn't just ignore the context, it actively confirms the fear that the organization is seeing it as something to be tracked rather than to be understood.
How can workplace data better create more inclusive environments for neurodivergent people?
The most direct thing that the data does is make patterns visible that otherwise would be explained away individually. So we advocate for starting with representation data, you know, simply understanding whether neurodivergent people are present in your workforce and to what proportion. It's an achievable, immediately useful baseline that tells an organization really whether you have a visibility problem before you try to work on anything more complex. Critically, it also starts to build trust and track record that makes deeper collection, data collection possible. So what we're really talking about in terms of workforce data is by understanding from a representation perspective. And then if you do have the space, an organization does have the opportunity to ask the second question, which is around neurotype or diagnosis, is that then that starts to layer in, or gives you the opportunity to start layering in, experience data, which is around combining neurodiversity data with engagement survey responses, retention figures, career progression.
What practical changes could we see organizations making, using the guide?
I think the most immediate change is a straightforward one. Organizations just start asking a question they've not asked before. So adding a voluntary neurodiversity question to an existing engagement or diversity survey sounds really simple, but it actually signals that neurodivergence is something that the organization wants to understand, not something that people just expected to manage and deal with and to perform neurotypicality in order to be able to succeed within that organization. In the short term, having representation baseline data changes conversations. It changes the leadership conversation within an organization, because when leaders can see that a meaningful proportion of their workforce, or even specifically down at the team level, identifies as neurodivergent, neuroinclusion just stops being a niche concern and becomes that whole workforce design question.
That was AMAE CCO Alexandra Lazarus-Priestley speaking with The Wise, Momina Shukar.